This is London Court.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
I wish they'd get out of my way.
I love them. I do. Yeah, really do.
Season 5, Episode 5, Big Smoke Music Weekly is here, and I am looking forward to bringing this one to you. We have a big interview with Beatmakers Porridge, plus a close-up 60 seconds interview with Dutch Criminal Record. All that, plus a golden oldie classic gig review from way back when, in 2007, with the Maccabees. It's me, your host, Luke Scanlon. Let's get into it. All right, guys, first off, I do want to apologise. We tried to do weekly, didn't we, this season? But yeah, I mean, you can't account for some things. Sadly, had a bereavement in the Scan fam. We said goodbye to Nanny Scans, which was sad. It was a long time coming, but obviously not ever nice. So that happened. Plus, I had a trip away to Vienna, which is, it's been a weird time, bit of a bittersweet time, but it's definitely put a smile back on my face. Vienna, by the way, thoroughly recommend that for a weekend. Do get away there if you can. It's ridiculously good architecture, amazing sort of local jazz and dance scene. Plus, it's mega, mega clean. But yeah, I did a little YOLO solo trip over there, and yeah, it was great. I went down to the canal, which, by the way, in London, if you say that, you kind of just picture shopping trolleys and rubbish thrown into a body of water, but their canal is just a natural nice place where people go down. There's like local spontaneous dance sessions going on, people having a drink, it's lovely. Anyway, I met these great people in a bar, spent the night with them, went out with them the next night. Oh man, I loved it. So yeah, definitely will be going back some point to Vienna. But the one thing, and I do always find this when I go away, why is it foreign supermarkets are amazing? I don't know why. The layout, the smell of the fresh pastry, the meats, the cheese. Oh man, the whole deli counter situation is just miles, miles better than what we have here. And do you know what I do like? You can usually do it in like local off licenses over here, but you can go up to a crate of beer. If you just want to take two out, take two out. You don't have to buy the whole thing. It's amazing, man. Absolutely loved it. And I was actually quite gutted that, yeah, I booked my trip not knowing it was a national holiday in Vienna at the time. Well, in all of Austria, for the first 2 days I was there. So I actually didn't get to go to the supermarket and spend a shit ton more money than I was anticipating. But it's all part of it, right? So yeah, definitely do get there. And yeah, that is my little segment for the Austrian Tourist Board.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Okay, let's take things back to the music then. I wanted to chat to you actually about, well, I say music, but it's actually a TV show. But a TV show about music. And it's called Pistol. It's the new 6-part season from, and it's based on Lonely Boy Tales from a Sex Pistol, written by Sex Pistols guitarist Steve Jones, and his account of how the band got together and how, obviously, they rose to stardom and kick-started the punk scene in the UK and basically kicked it all off across the world. Honestly, it's such a good watch. It's on Disney Plus, so if you don't have Disney Plus, maybe DM me for my login details, because I swear to God, you can add about 1,000 different profiles on there. So definitely get in touch, or just buy it. It's definitely worth a dollar. But yeah, it's so good. You get a real flavour of kind of punk and the importance that it had to really shake up the British music scene at the time, because I've been watching it with the old man, and he's been telling me how the 70s, pretty grim. You had everyone on strike, the binmen, the power was being turned off early. The country was just in a bit of a shit state, and the music was just not at all reflecting how the youth were feeling, the anger they had, the angst that they had, and just the need to express themselves, and basically, I think, to expend some energy and to kind of take themselves away to a new place, it mentally and culturally, I suppose. But yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And just the characters within it, obviously real life people. Steve Jones, obviously, it was centered around at the beginning, the kind of overconfident guitarist who actually was meant to be the lead singer, but couldn't bring himself to perform. And that's how they met John Lydon, aka Johnny Rotten. And it's just absolutely brilliant, man. I think everyone involved in the whole story, they're real icons, you know, of British pop culture. Vivian Westwood, obviously designer, and her shop Sex, a lot of it centers around that. Working in there, you had Chrissy Hynde, who went on to be the lead singer of the Pretenders, and then obviously the eccentric, mad brilliant mind of Malcolm McLaren, who obviously was the Sex Pistols manager. It is such a good watch. Honestly, it's just, you get those goosebumps, don't you, when these sort of biopic things come out. A bit like Walk the Line, Johnny Cash. I had goosebumps watching that. When you see these artists, how they started off and how everything kind of crested and got to that pinnacle point. It's so good, man. Even how Sid Vicious got his name. He wanted to join the band, obviously, Glenn Matlock originally on bass, but you can see within the band, he was the one that actually had the musicianship and could play his guitar, and that was old hat, man. He was into the Beatles and the Kinks and all these sort of things. They didn't want that in there, so he was chucked out, basically, for this other John. I mean, they couldn't have two Johns in the band, could they? So they gave him a new name after Johnny Rotten's hamster, Sid, and he bit Sid on the finger, and he said, ah, that's vicious. Hence the name Sid Vicious. Literally came from a hamster, believe it or not. So yeah, do watch it. I've only watched two episodes so far, but it is fully, fully worth the watch to really kind of place yourself back into that really important era of music. Would we have had most of the stuff we listen to now without the Sex Pistols? I highly fucking doubt that.
Big Smoke Music Weekly!
Okay, time now for my chat with a band that I've been having on repeat for the last couple of years. A band have been having me bop around my bedroom during lockdown, hoping to have gigs, dance floors back open. They're a band that call themselves Beatmakers, and hell yeah they are. They've been on tour with the likes of Metronomy. They've got some big tour dates coming up, and I really think they're going to set the summer festival scene alight. The Unbelievable Porridge. Nobody's scared. Here's my chat with Egg, Jacob, and James from the band. Welcome, episode 6, guys. Porridge, welcome. We have Egg, we have Jacob, and James, almost the whole band. Nathan Beld, where is he?
He's got work, to be fair.
Oh, I'm not having that. Where's his priorities, man? What's going on?
We're poor, man.
Yeah, aren't we all? Aren't we all? Jesus. So, guys, I've asked this as the first question on season 5. Varying answers, and the irony of your band name here. What have you had for breakfast today? Because most musicians tell me they don't eat breakfast, and it freaks me out.
I actually don't usually eat breakfast, but today I did. My parents have started buying the sexy eggs, and it's been a game changer.
Are they like the deep orange yolk?
Yes. Oh my God. But what they've done, it's sneaky. They've also bought normal eggs as well. And you don't know which ones are which. So I've now developed this like incredible testing system to try and get the sexy eggs. But you never know until you crack it. Anyway, I had sexy eggs.
That's amazing. Egg roulette is going on at Egg's house. Yeah. Amazing.
My life is meaningful. It has purpose.
It's better than my morning, I can tell you that. James and Jacob, where are you at? What was breakfast? What was going on this morning?
What did I have? I had strawberry jam on toast. Oh. Yeah, just pretty solid. I was going to go for porridge.
Something that's going to change your life, Jacob, right? I read this the other day. Oh. Apparently, you're meant to eat toast like upside down. So, like, your jam hits...
The flavours on your tongue.
Oh, damn.
You also have to do that with Pringles.
Really?
One side is more flavoured than
bloody
the other.
Bloody hell. That's insane. See, Jacob, I just saw your mind explode, mate. I can't wait. If James, you don't have one hell of a breakfast lined up, I'm going to be seriously disappointed.
Oh, you're going to be disappointed. I didn't have breakfast.
Oh, no. See, the theory lives on. Musicians don't eat breakfast. Amazing.
If I eat breakfast, I feel sluggish and I can't make beats all day.
Beats, sick beats as well. I mean, we'll come on to those beats in a little bit. The other question I've been asking, I can see, Jacob, you've got you've got something on the go there. Have either of you, any of you, got a drink of choice for the interview? Have you got anything on the go at the moment?
I actually just downed an orange squash before we started.
You're hard as fuck, man. James, what are you drinking?
This isn't actually drinking water. This is for TikTok. I'm trying to make a beat with like a household object. So I've got to like Let me see if I can do it.
Oh yeah, the little.
I'm getting nothing, Pant. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh fuck it! Well, I made a snare by doing this.
Love it, love it.
Wrong.
There you go. Sweet. I'm on the hard stuff as well, mate. I'm not making beats out of it though, so. That's about as rock and roll as I am. Cool. Well, guys, let's chat about what you've been up to. You've been up to a lot. I want to talk about your most recent single. Came out in April. We'll Lose Our Mind. I read somewhere it's about a toxic relationship. Is that one that has actually existed, or it's like a fictional one?
It's not a personal relationship I've been through. It's perhaps a relationship I've witnessed. You know, when it's kind of like a seed and then you then fictionalize it. So technically not really real life, but it's also like not necessarily about relationships. It's just like that guilty pleasure, isn't it? It's that thing that you're like, oh, definitely shouldn't do this, but I'm definitely gonna.
Happens every week, every single week.
Got to. You just got to, man.
Nice. Well, tell us about, because I was going to ask about your sound in general, because obviously it's quite the electronic dance element to it. Where does one of you drive that? I mean, James, I know you're making funky beats out of stuff in that room you're in there, but is that a collective love of that sound in the band?
Yeah, it's definitely a collective thing. We're all beat makers. We all do a bit of it. I just happen to be having speakers behind me visible on Zoom. the others aren't right in front of their desks at the moment. So yeah, definitely a collective love for all things like dance music. A lot of our music is a love letter to like UK rave music.
Yeah.
From, well, 1980s onwards.
It's also where we started making music. Like, we wanted to play dance music live. So that's how Porridge formed.
Yeah, fair play. I was going to say that because obviously you've just played Great Escape. And a lot of my mates go to that because they work in the industry, darling. And it's very like PR-y, isn't it, as an event. What was that crowd like there? Because I'm always intrigued by it. I'm sure it was a great crowd, but is it different to a normal crowd?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not even going to humble brag. I'm just going to brag right now. It was great. There was our lawyer couldn't get in. There was a queue round the block.
Amazing.
A great time. So it didn't feel industry at all, like, maybe just industry couldn't get in. And you know what? I love that. Like,
do you know what? I didn't know what part was the brag, the long queue or the fact you're just dropping the fact you have a lawyer in.
All of it, man. It's all a huge brag.
The whole fucking shebang, Luke. The whole shebang. I mean, amazing. But yeah, obviously, the other recent stuff that's been going on, touring with Metronomy, that must have been pretty unreal. Because I suppose they're kind of within that bracket of the dancey sound. Did you kind of find common ground chatting to each other? I know they're kind of probably more slightly towards the India side of it, but did you find common ground talking about that at all?
I mean, a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, I just embarrassed myself when we met them, because we met them on the second night. We didn't really see them on the first night, and then the second night we like went into their dressing room and I just like, and I happy cried last night. I was like, why did I say that? That's
nice.
Awkward.
Amazing. Jacob, how did you play it, mate? I reckon you're a cool customer.
Me? Cool. Metronomy were lovely when we met them. But yeah, we did. Hopefully we didn't scare them. Hopefully we didn't scare them off.
When you say we, do you mean me, Jacob?
Me. But I remember just being stood next to you, and I don't think I was helping the situation either.
Yeah, I was really fending for myself there.
I know, yeah, sorry about that. Sorry.
Amazing. So, guys, obviously you're all kind of in different spots at the moment. Tell us about how Porridge came into being. Like, how did it all happen?
All right. Well, we all met at uni. We studied music in the same year, apart from Nathan, who's a year or two older than us. And yeah, we're all in halls together, and that's how we met. And the idea came about of trying to form a band that did dance music live. And we had sort of floated this idea around of starting a band, and I think we'd just picked the name, and then we got offered a gig. And we said, yeah, we can do it. I wasn't there. Someone had to fill in for me on my first gig. And the others made a set in a week and filmed it and did the gig.
Yeah, it was pretty hardcore, I can't lie. They were like, do you have a live video? Because you're like a new band. Like, we just want to see if you guys are going to be a good fit. We're like, mm-hmm, for sure, for sure. Wi-Fi is pretty bad right now. Can we send it to you this evening? And then just like filmed it immediately. Then we're like, everyone drop everything. We have to do this now.
Nice. That's probably great though, being in a band and having things happen spontaneously. Does that happen quite a lot in the creative process when you're putting tunes together? Just kind of, yeah. Let's do that.
It's just, I feel like Porridge is all about the beauty and chaos.
Organised chaos.
It's not organised.
Try, it never works.
It's just chaos, but it the end product is great.
Chaos in the truest sense.
Yeah.
Nice, love it. You also got a few dates coming up, I think it's 7 in total in September. Is that your first headline tour going out?
It's our first like big boy one.
Yeah.
We did a couple mini ones at the end of last year. And they were like a run of 3 days each. We did two lots of it, but this is like the henchiest proper going for it. Real tour.
Yeah, nice. Because you mentioned obviously you had a shit ton of lawyers who couldn't get in at Great Escape, but I was intrigued by
one actually.
I'm saying it's 100.
My filthy brag even filthier.
Guys, I work in the media. I'm gonna blow it up. I'm gonna sensationalize it, of course. So I was gonna say this 100 lawyers. Because your sound is obviously, you mentioned earlier, it's got kind of, it has nods to 80s, 90s British dance scene. Do you have quite a wide range kind of demographic, I hate that word, but that comes to your shows? Because it has quite a broad appeal and that sense of nostalgia, I guess, for some people.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we've got like the nitties at the front going mental to kind of even all the slow songs, like moshing to Nobody's Scared.
Yeah.
But then you also get like the dads at the back who will without a doubt buy a t-shirt, and we love that.
Yeah.
Like the sick music dads are coming in strong.
Yeah, nice. Yes, everyone always says how much they love the sick music dads. They're the reason I couldn't get to see Wet Leg at Latitude last year, because they were playing a tiny tent and it was literally just 6-year-old blokes living it big.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Big Smoke Music Weekly in partnership with Sound On. Yes, I've got to tell you about the brilliant YouTube channel that we've teamed up with for season 5. That is, of course, Sound On. You need to go and check out what they've been uploading recently. They've been up at Neighborhood Weekender, one that I've been wanting to go to for a very long time. I will be at the day event coming up in autumn time. To get myself in the mood, I've been heading over to their YouTube channel, and you need to do the same. Check out the content they've got from the likes of The Snuts, Pixie, Seb Lowe, and loads more. If you want a bit more visual content in your life, they are the guys to go and check out. That's Sound On, all one word, over at YouTube, and you can catch them on Instagram for all the latest updates, and they're at SoundOnYT. Big Smoke Music Weekly in partnership with Sound On. Okay, time to get back to my chat with Porridge and a wee game of either or.
Cool. Well, guys, if you're ready, I feel like, because there's three of you, this is going to cause arguments, but this is the feature called Either Or, if you're ready for this.
You literally got to tell me
which one you want to go for. So, there's 5 we're doing, okay? First one, this is quite a tough one. Pasta or pizza?
Pasta.
Pizza. Oh, pants. Jacob, you're the decider.
Yeah, we're going for Jacob.
Pizza.
Yes! Oh, fuck it, Pan.
We've got two. Okay, we'll do this. We'll just do a voting system. two ones of pizza. Love it. Although, pasta would be quite hard to give up.
Wait, listen, we've decided, man.
All right. Porridge have spoken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa, fucking hell. Don't shoot a messenger. Okay. Number 2, the holy grail / disgusting grail of festival drinks, dark fruit or red stripe?
Red Stripe.
Red Stripe.
Dive.
Okay,
yeah.
Unanimous.
That was...
Nice.
Dark Fruits is purely Reading 2014, just done your GCSEs. It's going to be a very bad weekend.
Yeah.
Mate. I would rather just drink Ribena. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
fair. It is essentially Ribena. Do you know what? It's that drink I don't like now, and I probably drank too much when I was younger. If I have it now, I'm like, someone get me the Gaviscon, the heartburns...
Mm. That's like Malibu for me. Can't do it.
Malibu, yeah, that just tastes of like fish bowls you get on holiday.
It just tastes of being in a park when you're 16.
It really does. It really does. Not the one at all. Okay, guys, number three, we have a lot of people quite strong on their opinion about this. Beach or swimming pool? So ocean or swimming pool?
Ocean.
Ocean.
Oh, I was going to say swimming pool.
Mate, this is getting really tense. It's just like waiting for the next person to crack.
I'm just thrilled to be on the winning team always.
Yeah, exactly. Dictator egg strikes again. No. Okay. Amazing. Okay, number four. Another kind of festival link to this one. Camp or glamp?
Camp.
Camp.
Camp? I've never glamped, so I couldn't really say.
I've done it once. It is pretty sensational, to be fair, but you just feel like you're cheating.
I'm going to say I can't afford to glamp. So
it was a freebie. There was no chance I was paying for that. It was free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'll take a free glamp. Definitely, definitely. But
well, the money alone, it seems wrong when you've paid however much for a festival ticket to then pay God knows how much more to make it slightly better.
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. You get to take a dump in a nice toilet. That's basically it.
Why are we saying that's basically it? That's glorious. Let's not diminish that.
Have you been to the compost loos at Boomtown or Glastonbury? Those things are great, especially when you work out when the cleaning shifts are and you go right after.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed about that. The raised eyebrow while she told me about it. I'm on to you, fuckers. Okay, the last one we have is, again, quite controversial, and you can apply this to any chocolate bar. Bite into a Kit Kat Chunky or eat the chocolate off first and then the main body.
Well, it's a different process for different parts of the Kit Kat.
Go on.
Being deadly serious.
Well, I felt quite terrified with the face you just pulled then because you did look very serious.
I never joke about Kit Kat. What if it's a chunky, right? There's so much chocolate at the end that you've got to nibble it off. And then you've got to do the sides, I feel. But then once I've done the sides, it's a chomp.
Fair play. Do you do the same with a Twix? Do you take the caramel off first?
But I'm not an insane person. No.
You don't? You just bunch straight into it?
Straight in, mate.
Oh, no. Guys, help me out here. Do you do the same?
I bite straight into all chocolate bars. I have no tactics.
I like that.
Obviously, a normal Kit Kat, you break it first. But
love that. I'm too busy making sick beats, mate. I've got time for fucking nibbling around chocolate bars.
That is absolutely a lie. Pan definitely has time.
Amazing. Well, that was a glorious end to either or.
I honestly could go on forever.
I've got a document with like a shit ton of them, but I should have got that up and done more, but there you go.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Okay then. Time now for our close-up 60 seconds with the Portsmouth-based Coastal Windy Surf outfit, Dutch Criminal Record. Dutch Criminal Record. Joe and Sam, how are we, boys?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks very much.
Nice one. Good to see you. So, anyway, I think the first thing we should start with is touring Seagulls. How was that? It looked amazing.
It was. It was probably the time of our lives, I'd say. What do you think, Sam?
It was pretty good.
It was very good. I'd go as far as saying it's very good.
Joe's gone for time of the life and Sam's gone pretty good.
you let me down there, Sam.
I'm sorry.
I was hoping for an enthusiastic enthusiastic backup from you there. It was great.
I'm like, cool.
Very cool. Yeah. Very, very cool. Yeah. But yeah, where, because you were in Europe, weren't you? So where did you play, and where was kind of, is there one city that was a standout for you guys?
We played Amsterdam, Brussels, and Paris with Seagulls.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I think, surprisingly, we all thought that Amsterdam was going to be the standout city, but Paris, actually, we all really enjoyed Paris. I think Sam would probably agree with me on that. It was just, it's very kind of vibey city. We had a lot of fun there. We stayed out till quite late as well. Had a nice night out afterwards.
On a school night.
On a school night.
So yeah, that's weird. You wouldn't necessarily, because obviously I know Paris does have some great live music venues, but you don't necessarily think of, don't know why, there's probably just stereotypes. You don't necessarily think French crowd, they'd be great.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Some guys in Brussels. Do you remember that, Sam? Who were saying, we were talking to some guys in Brussels who said that France has a massive hip hop scene. But other than that, you don't get much guitar music going on outside of Paris. So I think there is a bit of a hub for it in Paris, but outside of Paris, it's a little bit of the hardest come by.
Nice, man. Nice. So obviously Seagulls have a massive following. What was it like just to watch them in action every night?
It was so good. It was really cool. Cause after we played, we'd go and watch them every night. Just get in the crowd and enjoy it. We'd actually played with them once before, maybe 2019, at a show in London. It was a really small show. And just seeing them smashing it every night a few years later, it was quite a really exciting thing to just watch it, spectate and be a part of it, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. On to you boys then. Obviously your last release, I think it was last year's, is the It's Gonna Be Okay EP. I was listening to it, was it last week? I think it was last week I was listening to it, and listened to it again today. It's a great little EP, that. It's quite a real mix of sounds, particularly the title track, kind of that spoken word element to it. Where did the decision for that to come from? Because it's obviously quite different to what other stuff you've got.
I think it came really out of the blue. To be fair, we always write... when we're writing songs, we always write a bit of a variety of of different styles anyway.
Sure.
We're not always, we do some more acoustic-y tracks. Sometimes we'll write a soul-y or a Britpop-y track just for fun almost. And that was one that I did, I wrote the instrumental, and then I just thought I didn't really want to sing over it. I just wanted to speak over it. I just couldn't think of a melody that would go well for it. So I was I'll just try it. I'll just make a little demo in my room of spoken word and send it to the group chat and see if the guys liked it. And everyone sort of thought, well, it's actually quite, it's a bit of an interesting tangent for us to do that. So we thought we'd give it a go.
Definitely, man.
So yeah, it came out of just a whim, basically.
Awesome. Yeah. Love it, love it. And obviously I've seen you've got some new music on the way, I believe. What can you tell me? What are you allowed to tell me?
Very little.
Interview terminated. Nice. Would that be in a similar sort of vein? Would there be any tracks kind of along the same path as the EP?
We're trying to evolve that sound a little bit, I'd say, with these singles. That was a bit of a clue right there. I've given the game away. There might be singles on the way.
I feel like they'll sound familiar, but but also with something a little bit different sprinkled in, you know?
Yeah.
Nice, man. Love it. Love it. And okay, right. Well, boys, if you're ready, we'll get up into the 60 seconds. So nice. Basically, ask the question, start the timer, and then you've got, as I say, a sum total of 60 seconds to answer all 5 questions, if that's cool.
Okay.
So feel free to shout over each other. Cool. All right. First one we have, guys, is the best biscuit to dunk in a cuppa and why?
All right, Sam, what are you saying?
Shortbread.
No, custard cream.
Yeah, mate, honestly, shortbread, that's going all over the place.
That was gross. Well, that was out of pocket, to be frank.
One long dunk in.
There you go. Boot him off the call. Boot him off the call.
Yeah, mate, honestly, leave the meeting room now. Get out. Okay, that was pretty good. That was 6 seconds, boys. You've done superbly well there. Gonna have to get some more questions thrown in for you. Number two is, what one person, this can be dead or alive, you would add to the band's lineup?
Bez. Bez from Happy Mondays. Is it Bez?
Yes. Get the maracas out, boy.
Yeah.
That would be jokes.
Nice.
Billy Preston on keys.
Oh,
that'd be good.
Yeah, sorry, Chris. I still love you, though.
Mate, Get Back. What a film that was. Well, documentary, yeah, exactly, that was. Yeah. So, so good, man. You forget how cool, because watching that, I think a lot of people did it. You actually kind of forget how good an artist he was in his own right.
Yeah, I know, honestly.
Yeah,
unbelievable. I actually started listening to him for a couple of weeks after that. It was pretty cool. He's just like, fucking cool bloke.
Yeah.
Really cool. Seemed to have a real like calming influence on them as well, didn't he, when he came in?
For sure. He was like a good restraining force.
Yeah, it was kind of like, Billy's arrived, everyone chill the fuck out. Number three we have, guys, is, if your music was a drink, which would it be?
Unfortunately, I think it'd probably be the warm Budweiser or Foster's on the last day of a festival.
Nice, love it, love it. Stuck under a sleeping bag somewhere.
the last one, yeah, in the back of the sleeping bag that you're just desperately chugging before you go off to see the acts.
Joe, actually, I think it was at Latitude last year. The weather was so hot, right? And I had some nice beers, and then I just brought some cheap lager. And I went to, they were just cooking in the tent like all weekend. And I thought it'd be fine because they were under a load of stuff. And then I went to open it, it was actually hot, like, almost like tea temperature. Honestly, never drink hot lager. So if you ever seen those videos of people putting lager in the kettle, don't do it. It's grim. Obviously.
Yeah, that doesn't sound appetizing in the least.
Yeah,
who'd have thought?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I had like the most middle class reaction, like, bloody hell, I'm going to have to get a PIMS. Can't be handling this. Oh, Jesus. Okay, guys, you're doing well. You're under just under 40 seconds with two questions remaining.
We like that.
So, sick.
Saying that, the next question is quite tough. What is the weirdest dream? Well, I'll give you some extra time because there's two of you for this one. What is the weirdest dream you've ever had?
I know my answer. Sam, what's yours?
You go first because you know your answer. I think I know what you're going to say, but carry on.
Yeah. So, the other day, this is two dreams that I've had that's kind of getting into a recurring pattern. It's a bit worrying. But it's basically, I had a dream that I woke up in like my like old room in my parents' house.
Yeah.
And then I woke up for real life in this flat in Brighton. And I was like, but when I woke up in the dream, like completely normal things that I did when I wake up, like, you know, just get up, like check my phone, go brush my teeth, whatever. And then I woke up for real in my flat. And I was like, wait, what is reality? You know what I mean? It really freaked me out.
That's Inception level dreaming, that is.
Exactly. Mm. And then I had the same dream again. But it was like a succession. It, like, I just kept waking up in different locations that are like totally normal places for me to wake up. I'll have one time where I woke up, I couldn't get out from under the covers, and then I woke up again, but remember, still dreaming. So the whole thing is a dream. And I started to get out of bed, but I was walking like on a treadmill. I couldn't walk out of my room. It was very weird. And then when I woke up in real life, it was proper, like, it's not okay. Like, whoever's like slipping acid into my tea before bed, I don't know what's going on.
You're talking, mine and Sam's faces were like, what?
Very strange, isn't it?
It really freaked me out. When I woke up real,
the time is completely fucked, but I enjoyed the story. You've lost the feature, but it's all good. I want to hear yours, Sam. What are yours?
I don't even know. I have like a bunch of weird, I have like a weird dreams where I someone tells me, you like, one of them I get is like that I saw the Strokes on tour in 2001 when I was 5. And then I'm like, yeah, of course I did. And then they like show me the photos of me there and I can't remember it. And then I wake up and it's not true. Such a stupid dream, but I get it. I've had it all the time.
That's like a really taunting dream. Here's what you could have won.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck's sake. That is not cool. Okay, right. Well, we will do the last one. Anyway, what is the song that's always on your mental jukebox that you just is a proper earworm?
Oh,
I get Shardy like a melody. That is stuck in my head all the time at the minute. So that one.
Is that just because we've had a little taste of sun? It's a bit of a shit like Euro holiday song.
I don't even know why. Like, I've never particularly listened to it, but there it is in my brain.
Mate, that's pretty now going to be in my head all day. So cheers for that, Sam. Nice one.
I think I'll have the same answer as well, because every now and again when I'm with Sam, it'll just burst out into a bit of a Shardy's like a can't escape it.
Yeah, God, can't wait for me to you in person, Sam, and that will just be the end of our relationship as soon as this begins. Oh dear. Well, anyway, boys, as I say, the dream stories have ruined the timer, but thanks ever so much for joining me, and yeah, hopefully catch you soon at a show, and looking forward to that new music.
Nice one. Yeah,
cheers, Luke.
Lovely bit of close-up 60 seconds. That was my chat with Dutch Criminal Record. Another band off the roster, I saw them last week, Sad Boys Club, as part of their UK tour. They had some big dates in Bristol, they played London as well, at Dingwalls, had a massive, massive night there from what the reports were telling me. And I have to say, the boys, as ever, on fire. And Jacob, bless him, he's been on the show before. Fair play to the man, because from what I was hearing, he was not in a good way. He was really, really feeling quite rough before the show. And the heat in the gig, it was a sweaty one. He pulled through and put in a brilliant performance. So you know a top performer when they can perform when they're feeling like, well, let's be real, utter shite. Fair play to you, Jacob, man. Great set.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Now for the rest of my chat with the featured artist for Season 5, Episode 5. The brilliant Porridge.
Right, well, let's get into the second part of the old chinwag, guys. We spoke a little bit about your sound earlier, and I say this to everyone, and it is true. I actually can't remember how long I've been listening to you guys now, but I love how much of like a crisp sound is in your tunes. And like, as I mentioned, I'm staying in this massive house. It happens to have Sonos in it at the moment. And today, when I've been playing you, sounds like unreal. I've had you in different rooms. It's great.
That's bougie, man. That is bougie, and I love it.
Sonos or the greenhouse. That's the life I'm living this week.
Oh.
I know. So I just wanted to ask, because it has got that like amazing, like, encompassing sound to it. Are you guys quite like real perfectionists when it comes to getting that sound and finalizing things?
You see my eyes glint menacingly.
It really varies from track to track. Like, some of them it is absolute agony for months, and others it comes together really quickly. Like Nobody Scared was a really quick one. Like, there was a little bit of jamming a few months before we put the song together, but the actual whole bulk of the song came together in one day of demoing and then a couple of days of recording and mixing, and then that one was pretty easy. A song like Ego or Figure Skating, however, those took ages.
Really? Yeah. Why is that? Is it just how it happens, or they were just hard songs to put together?
There are, yeah. Just
songs are fickle, you know. They just do things sometimes.
It's just how it is.
You can't control the beat.
Yeah. Do you find that songs kind of do take on their own personality when you're putting them together?
I don't know. I think we get far too close to them that it's hard to actually see the way out sometimes. And then it's just constantly, this is the best thing I've ever done. I hate this. Who am I? Should we release this? We need to release this. It's just, yeah. I think you lose all sanity.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm always intrigued by what different bands take on this as well. Because I found, like, obviously, in the age of streaming, it seems like there's more of an emphasis on releasing a shit ton of singles to kind of stay in the mix, as it were. Do you guys find that pressure at all as a band? Or are you kind of just happy to just do it at your own pace kind of thing?
I think we started out releasing singles just because we were just vibing. Like, it wasn't a conscious, like, we will release singles. But I think if you come off the bat self-releasing and you release an album, I just think there's a danger that it will just be lost. And yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one.
Yeah, fair enough. Staying on the subject of songs, it's quite helpful when I'm talking to a band. you talked earlier about like wanting to make dance music, but it is weird with your songs. I always find like, yeah, they could be dropped into a live set and then made for getting people to body pop and do whatever they want to do to it, but they also fit really well into just listening everyday life. Is that something that comes into creating your songs, that you want it to kind of the track to diversify, like where they can sit, as it were?
I try not to be like too conscious of that side of things when writing, because I think that can be quite damaging. For me personally, I just like to write the song and then see what happens afterwards. I just think that by the lineup we have and how we've created music, it has ended up as this thing that can go in different lanes, which, you know, has worked out great. But personally, it's not, I'm not going, this will be on an indie banger list, but also in the club.
Da club, more importantly.
Da club.
Nice. And obviously, it's been, for all artists, for everyone, it's been a weird couple of years. And like you seem to be getting bigger and bigger and having this like nice rise. Do you think kind of touring, music getting back to normal, has come at a great time for you kind of ride that crest?
Yeah, I think so. I think definitely for us, because so pre-pandemic, we were doing loads and loads of gigs, but not releasing much music at all. I think we had only released 2 songs before the pandemic, but we were doing loads and loads of small gigs. Almost every week, kind of learning our craft and doing the, you know, all the little terrible venues, all that stuff. And then obviously that got completely pulled out, couldn't do anything. So we managed to focus on writing music. And then the fact that our listener base online grew so much over the pandemic meant that when we got back to it, it was lovely to come back to be able to do like headline shows that were way, way bigger than before. And being able to kind ride that out of the pandemic was very, very satisfying.
Yeah, I can't lie. We were very lucky. Like the fact that our process is so DIY and the fact that it's all in-house producing, in-house writing, in-house mixing meant that actually when live performance stopped, we were just able to really hone in on this thing. And it was great. And then obviously when everything opened up, like, playing live is such an important part of Porridge. Like, I feel like you kind of understand all the sides of it when you go to a show, because I know you're saying like, oh, there's so much types of music, and like, I don't know, I feel like it all comes together when you then go and see it live. So then to be able to come out like full blast after the pandemic, it's pretty nutty.
Yeah, that must be so surreal. It must be, as you said about the fan base growing, did that feel quite weird, kind of, obviously you had the shows pre and after COVID, to go back to a bigger audience, you're like, what the fuck?
Great, can't lie.
yeah
it was actually weirder seeing it grow during the pandemic, because it was like, oh, you know, you've been, it was obviously great seeing like numbers go up on Spotify, but it didn't mean anything until we came back to do those shows and went, crap, those people are actually real.
There's flesh bags are moving and singing the words that I've written. Oh God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not just figures on the screen. Yeah. That's so weird. Yeah. That's so weird. Do bands like pay attention to streaming figures that much?
I think you have to in this age. I think, you know, try not to, because you don't want to put your whole self-worth on a number, but you know, I'd be lying if I said we didn't, because I think everyone does.
To be fair, you have the perfect pair of glasses to like scan numbers there. Super.
1930s Specsavers originals. We love.
Oh, big up. Love it. Egg, I was going to ask you about your different haircuts, because I've seen some pictures of some proper jazzy styles. What's been your favourite so far? Have you ever done one that's made the rest of the band think, pardon?
You'd have to ask them on that one, because they've been smart enough not to say it to my face.
Guys, has that ever happened where you're like, eh?
It actually hasn't. Like, I think the wildest ones were pretty recent, and they were the hearts and the, what was it for Lose Our Minds?
It was crosses. I was going for kind of like demonic imagery.
They look pretty mad, which is sick. But it's not like Egg's got dicks all over their head, so
yet. You don't know what I planned tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, that would be fun. What have you got, anything in the pipeline? I'm interested. I want to fuck the new singles. I want to know what's going on with the hair.
We're not here for music.
No, hell no. No.
No, I actually do. So I just do it like with my friends because it's fun. But I mean, it's quite an expensive hobby because my hair grows so fast. It grows out in like 2 weeks and then I have to do it all again. I actually lied the other day and I've started like bulk buying bleach, but I had to pretend I was a hairdresser. It's fine. No one will find out. But I think I'm going to do like an octopus with the tentacles coming round because my friend Laura... is just sick of it randomly. We didn't know until we did it. I was like,
that's a lot of faith to put in there whilst having your hair dyed. Fair enough. Don't reckon I could handle that myself, but there you go. So when I was checking you out earlier online, seeing what was going down, I went on your like Linktree thing and I saw the join the Oat Gang mailing list. Superb, by the way. Just wanted to know, who do you reckon would win in a war of porridge, you or Porridge Radio?
Listen, it's not a war.
It's a war.
A beautiful love. Actually,
Jacob's having none of this. He's like, nah, we'd have him. We'd literally have him.
Jacob's getting the daggers. I don't know if we would, you know. I think there's room for us both. I was Porridge Radio were actually on Six Music the other day, and my mate Danny texted me like, there's someone talking about you on the radio. And it's poor Dana from Porridge Radio, Craig Charles, is like, and how do you feel about this other porridge band?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that she's like, they're great. Like,
yeah, we actually interviewed Dana ages ago at Neighbourhood Festival, and it was me and my co-host Dave, and we definitely had too many bevs before the interview. Classic. And like, looking back, I was like, I'm pretty sure we just shouted at her for 5 minutes.
Listen, I'm sure it was a vibe, but no. I think, actually, my partner Paige wants us to do a festival called Breakfestival, and it's only us and Porridge Radio playing. And I said, Paige, isn't this just a normal gig? And she's like, no, Breakfestival.
Yeah, but, you know, you could just get all sorts of great food trucks in.
Exactly. Listen, I really think there's legs for this, and if we could get serious legs rolling in.
Amazing. So obviously we spoke about how like your fan base has grown and stuff in the last couple of years, whatever it is. Do you guys ever kind of consider or like look at what success might look like for you guys, or is it just kind of take it all as it comes?
Moving out from the parents' house might be pretty sick.
Join the club.
Ayo.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Just roof over my head.
I also want to go to Japan.
That'd be sweet. What, just on holiday or playing as a band?
No. Like, I want to, you know, both, to be fair.
That'd be sweet. Yeah, what about you, Jacob? What are you feeling as success for the band, do you think? Oh,
gotta go somewhere like America. Like a tour in America would be cool. I don't know if that's too adventurous, but I'd love something like that. That'd be cool. But also, just to be able to do it as a living and full-time, that would be incredible.
Yeah, that'd be class. Well, I suppose that's the thing with your sound, because it does travel. It's quite a universal sound, I suppose, isn't it? And it does travel quite well.
If you say so, I'll take it. Thanks.
I've said I've travelled from Hampshire to Hertfordshire, and I can confirm it travels well.
That will be porridge.
The worldwide
travel from Hampshire to Hertfordshire.
Exactly. That's the most Alan Partridge tagline for a band I've ever heard in my life.
Someone get on it. Someone message the social media team.
Bumper sticker merch coming up, guys. Definitely. Yeah, amazing. Well, guys, that's all we have time for. But thanks ever so much for swinging by for a chat. It's been bloody lovely. And hopefully I'll see you soon live somewhere.
Yeah, that would be delicious. Thanks so much for having us.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
My thanks there to the guys from Porridge. As I say, a band that are ready to make you boogie and really make the most of summer. Definitely the soundtrack to my summer anyway. If you want to go see them on tour, which I highly recommend, they have 7 dates coming up for you in September. 7 dates in total, starting with the King Tut's in Glasgow on the 20th. Then they're in London on the 23rd when they play Heaven. And all those tickets are on sale now. Check it out. You'd be a fool to miss it.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Is anyone else absolutely boring at the moment? This heat wave is just getting the better of me. And the worst thing is, it's all we even talk about, isn't it? bloody hell, it's hot. Oh, sweating me bollocks off here, son. But yeah, one thing that is good, it means summer's here, festivals are here, and I've spoken about this in a previous episode. It is the one thing that gives me life. Summer's great, but when you chuck festivals into the mix, and now they're back properly, what more can you want from life? I mean, I cannot wait. I've told you already, I'm going to Pohoda Festival out in Bratislava, just outside the city, at the beginning of July. I'll be there with me pal Harry, and we'll be hopefully bringing some interviews back for you from the likes of Libertines, Wolf Alice, Squid, Shame, and a few others as well. Maybe even Grandmaster Flash, who knows? We have actually seen there's a few Slovakian reggae bands that we will 100% be checking out. So maybe we'll get a little, I don't know, have a doobie with them and an interview. We'll see how that goes. But I cannot wait. It's based in Trentin near the airport. If you are looking for a last minute plan, as I said, a couple of weeks away now, do get on it. It's about 100 quid or so. Flights tend to be quite cheap. You're guaranteed good weather and the beer is cheap. Do check it out if you're looking for a bit of an alternative trip this summer.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
All right. Now, last time out, I started a new feature called Oldies Are Goldies. Copyright pending. Yeah, it's a pretty good name. Fucking terrible name. But anyway, it's a good little feature because it allows us to step back in time and have a look at some gig reviews from days gone by. And last time, to kick us off, we had one from The Clash. And yeah, it made me very envious of people that had seen The Clash and more angry at my dad that he hadn't gone to see them when he had the bloody chance. So this time out, it's going to be more of a recent band, but one in an era that I think is kind of an unsung hero of golden eras of British music. This one is from February 2007 from Gigwise, written for them for a little while. This one is from their show at King Tut's Wawa Hut, a venue that I've been wanting to go to. It's firmly on the gig bucket list. So the great thing about Oldies Are Goldies is it really does place you back in the room. Take a listen to this, because obviously the Maccabees, this is around the time that they're sensational, like, let's be real, sensational debut album, Colour It In, came out. And I was listening back to that today when I was recording the tunes for this little feature. And is there a bad track on that album? I'm not so sure there is. But anyway, this is how that show from February 2007 was recounted by Gigwise. Singer Orlando Weeks may clamber all over the drum kit from time to time and dance around like a lunatic, but there's an air of rather un-rock and roll politeness with this band. Absolutely love that. It's like, they're a bit manic, but they say please and thank you at the end of it. It carries on. Felix White, obviously, on the bass, in particular, leaps about with hyperactive glee, just about dragging himself back to the microphone for backing vocals. I just love the sense of pure exuberance and love for what he's doing, that he's kind of like, oh shit, I'm actually in the middle of a job here. I need to back Orlando up with some oohs and ahs. So the review carries on. Rattling through 14 songs in just under 40 minutes, there's no time for any overplayed tracks here. Everything is quick, direct, and to the point. And also, persistently thrilling. The jerky, awkward stomps of X-Ray. And First Love near the conclusion are examples of the Maccabees at their best. Anthems in waiting. And are you cool? Symmetrical. It kind of is weirdly haunting. It feels like you've been in a time machine reading this review back, because we do know that these tunes are anthems, and they were such a big part of growing up for a lot of people, I think, listening. They were indeed for me. And it's just so cool hearing this, because this is just before, obviously, everything's about to kick off big time for Maccabees. Another part of the review where a couple of tracks are mentioned is here. The brilliant Latchmere plays out. Latchmere's got a wave machine. And About Your Dress is dispensed quickly in the set. Never run, never run, never run, never run, never run. Both tunes are short bundles of energy. Towards the end of the piece, it says Felix White got a camera and took a picture of him in the crowd. Now, I don't know if he was the first person to do that or not, but you see a lot of bands doing that now, don't you? Taking the phone out or whatever and getting a picture with a huge audience behind them. But it just ends with a lovely, lovely line in this review. On this evidence, the Maccabees are a picture-perfect band. Oh, how about that? I mean, they went on to have massive, massive success. If we're going to be honest, any band that can get their big break off of a tune that is named after a wave machine in a leisure centre, the Latchmere Leisure Centre in Battersea, so I'm told, deserves as much praise as they can possibly get. And the amount of people I've met, I'm gutted I didn't go because I saw the Maccabees, I'm not too sure how many times, a few times at least. But a lot of people I've met have said how good their farewell shows were in 2017 up at Ali Pali. And I can't believe it's bloody 5 years ago. What's going on, man?
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
For anyone looking for a fix of the Maccabees who might have missed it, lead singer Orlando Weeks, by the way, his debut solo album came out earlier this year, Hop Up, so, so worth a listen. And KTJ Pearson, a former Big Smoke Music Weekly In Focus artist, features on one of the tracks too. So yeah, definitely do check that out. All right, guys, there it is. A nice, short, sweet, tidy little parcel of a show for you there. It's wonderful to be back, as I said, after kind of like an unforced break from the podcast. But yeah, please bear with. We're back up and running. And yeah, love and peace to you all. Catch you soon.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.